here on SatKingsNations.com YouTube channel. Joining me today, making his King's Court debut from the indie star, James Boy. James, welcome to the show, my man. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me. It's been a crazy season. Obviously, a very big trade went down recently. I'm glad you got me on to talk about that and more.
Oh, man. So I'm not even going to lie to you, bro. The reason how I got even onto your radar and how I got so excited to have you on is you went viral. You went completely viral after the Halliburton trade. And I saw nothing but people sharing your video. And then you had an amazing video after, you know, you got all these views. And it was really cool of you to take that moment and just say, you know what, guys, keep striving, bro. But what was it like just going viral for the first time? Because we just talked before the show that you just joined the Indie Star. So this is really mainstream. And to see that pop off, what was that like?
Yeah, so I've had a couple of, you know, tweets that'll get a couple of 100 likes or whatever. But that was the first, like, really, really viral moment. It was crazy. I mean, you got platforms like ESPN, Bleacher Report, you know, reaching out. And I can't take full credit for it. I was just lucky enough to be having the camera up. I asked the first question. I got kind of threw a lob to my boy Joel, who's an intern here at the Indy Star. And he flushed it by asking Halliburton a great question about, you know, trust and having to switch franchises. And Tyrese Halliburton is a really great interview, and he gave a really, you know, raw answer. You know what I mean? So I think the humanness of his answer is the reason why I went viral, because everyone can kind of relate to being, you know, loving something and having it not love you back. So that was a crazy moment for sure, man. My phone is still getting retweets from that. I had to mute the tweet. Got friends telling me I'm famous, but I promise you I'm not. I'm just a guy who got lucky with a camera.
Hey, man, that you captured a great moment. You asked a great question. And I think that's just a great segue into what happened on February 8th, where the Sacramento Kings and the Indiana Pacers made one of the, I think, the biggest surprise trade of the NBA trade deadline this year. And, you know, what were your initial thoughts of the deal, hearing that Domantas Sabonis, a 25-year-old two-time All-Star, is being traded for Tyrese Halliburton?
I was thinking, how in the world did they get Halliburton? Because that's the only way I thought that they would. I'm not saying he's the only player, but I just thought the only way they were going to move Sabonis was to get, in my opinion, a star or a budding star, which is who Tyrese Halliburton is. So it was crazy to see him, you know, in the trade. I was just thinking everyone thought this dude was going to be in Sacramento, going to be a part of the future. And I will say this, like, everyone's kind of been dogging the Kings out, but Sabonis is a really good player. He's the best Pacers player. He was their best player. I know people have opinions about that. No, I've gotten backlash about it. He's their best player. That's the end of it. It's not like they're getting back a scrub, you know, in replacement of Halliburton. He's a really good player. But again, it was really weird because I was in, you know, Atlanta. I had just saw Sabonis and them at shoot around. And, you know, a couple of hours later, they're gone. So it was such a unique situation, but one that just shocked me. I think it shocked the entire league. I mean, Woj said it himself. Like, no one really thought he was available, but I guess Kevin Pritchard, the Pacers president, he told me, you know, I asked him directly, like, when did he become available? Like, you know, when did you know? And he was like, you know, more or less, we got the guy we wanted and we were consistent. So he basically was saying, like, we were pounding the door. And I think as the trade deadline got closer, the Kings just had to make a decision. Do we go all in on this season trying to get into that play-in, playoff, or do we, you know, just dial it back? And obviously they went for it.
James Boyd of the Indy Star joining us here on the King's Court podcast presented by RateCrushers.com. We're going to be breaking down everything from this Indiana Pacers and Sacramento Kings trade and a whole lot more down the road. And, you know, for me, I'm going to tell you the opposite end of the spectrum here. So I saw the Tyrese Halliburton deal and – you know, I'm one of the very few. As soon as I saw this trade happen for the Kings, I was one of the very few that said, I love this deal. I think, in my opinion, for the Kings to trade away a second-year player with potential above him, obviously you got to give up talent to receive talent, but you get to trade potential, put the ball back in De'Aaron Fox's hands, and in return, you get a 25-year-old two-time All-Star. And on top of that, you get off of a contract that's still owed $40 million to Buddy Hield. And I'm also not the biggest Buddy Hield fan. I think that he can help a lot of contending teams, but for in my opinion, it was the most fair trade that I believe got took completely the wrong way by the national media saying that the Kings were dumb, you know what I mean? But it's very nice to hear you say, like, hey, we're getting potential here in Tyrese Haliburton. You were very high on him coming over. What drew you to Tyrese Haliburton? How much of Tyrese Haliburton did you guys watch over there in Indiana? What was your guys' knowledge of him?
Yeah, so I don't know how much, like, the Indiana area really watched the guy. I probably got a few, like, who is that, you know, because he's not, like, a bona fide star just yet, not a household name. But me being a pretty big basketball fan, obviously working around the NBA, I knew he was a bucket. I'm just like, right. He's got the unorthodox shot. That's the first thing I thought of was, like, well, he's got this really weird shot, but it works. And, you know, so having seen him play at Iowa State, you know, I know THT played at Iowa State as well. So, like, there's, you know, certain guys that I kind of remember from college. And I'm like, oh, yeah, like, this Tyrese Haliburton kid is tearing it up. And he's a guy that I just think this franchise kind of needed in a sense that they haven't had a lead guard that's really, in my opinion, have, like, that star potential since, you know, Paul George as far as on the perimeter. I don't know if Pacers fans are probably going to get mad because they don't want to bring up Paul George, but he's the best player that's been here in recent years. So it was good on the Pacers to go after a wing player, go after a lead guard. And the thing that kind of shocked me is not the how high they are on him, but, like, how high. Like, they're, you know, before he even played, they had a press conference with the team president, Kevin Pritchard, and Kevin Pritchard was comparing this guy to – he was like, hey, he's like our Peyton Manning, our Andrew Luck. You know, Peyton Manning's got a statue out there in Indianapolis. Andrew Luck was going to have one too if he hadn't retired early. So I'm like, you know, these are big shoes to fill. And again, but like you said, you didn't just give up anything. I'm really high on Sabonis. He has his limitations. He's not a, in my opinion, a superstar. But I do think he's a star. Like, you don't average what he averages on a nightly basis. You don't pass the way he does. In my opinion, the second best passing big man behind, obviously, Jokic. You don't do what he does without being a really good player. And I think people take that for granted because it's not glamorous. But that dude can play. He had a 25-rebound triple-double earlier this year. Mm-hmm. The last person who did that was Shaq in 1993. So I know people are like, oh, he's not Shaq. I get that. But, like, the stuff that he does is very impressive. I mean, he had 5 triple-doubles here in Indiana, and I'm sure he's going to have one pretty soon in Sacramento.
Yeah, I'm extremely high on Domantas Sabonis. I've called him the Jokic of the East for a long time.
I like that.
I called him the Jokic of the East, and I was so pumped to see him come to Sacramento. A little bit more on this trade from Indiana side before I get your thoughts on everybody here that came to Sacramento. And for those who are just late to the party, you know, I got James Boyd here from the Indy Star joining us live on the Kings Court. We are live on Facebook, YouTube, and Twitter. You guys can start leaving your comments down there below. We got a little bit of time here with James, so if we do have time for questions, we'll definitely ask them. And this show is brought to you by RateCrushers.com. If it's boating insurance, renter's insurance, mortgage insurance, car insurance, make sure you're not overpaying for coverage. Go to RateCrushers.com and let them know you found them through the Kings Court podcast. Staying on this side of the Pacers, right? From everything that I gathered leading into the season, not before the trade, just leading into the season, was when the Pacers signed Rick Carlisle, it wasn't going to be like a rebuilding team. That was not his mindset. But now you're here at this deadline, and it just seemed the Pacers were hot selling everything. Fire sell, Caris LeVert out of there. Miles Turner's on the block. Domantas Sabonis now got traded. Achilles injury for Malcolm Brogdon. What has changed now? Has there been any word? Has there been a lot of conversation with Carlisle on the direction of this team moving forward?
Yeah, he's been pretty tongue-in-cheek about, you know, hey, I'm here, I'm all in, isn't really worried about the whole rebuild thing. I did ask the Pacers president, Kevin Pritchard, is this a full rebuild? And he's like, we can use every reword possible. But he said the team is too good. They have too many good players to be a full-blown rebuild. One thing I'll say is that in this situation, it's kind of unique because they don't have Malcolm, they don't have Miles. You get those two back pretty healthy. You can kind of figure out what your team really looks like and then what other moves you might want to make in the offseason. So that's like the one caveat. But in my opinion, I don't think they're done making moves. I think that this offseason could be very interesting, depending on, you know, how much money they have in cap space and where they end up in the draft. I know right now they're probably going to be at like a top five pick. They're going to, which is a fun fact for you, this will be their first single digit pick since 1989.
Wow.
Like the Pacers have kind of been like middling, like, yeah, they've never really like bottomed out like they have this year. And I think what shifted, because they didn't plan on it this year, what shifted was, one, being hurt all the time. You know, none of these guys could really stay healthy as a group. But even when they were healthy, you know, they weren't really winning much. You know, even with lineups with Malcolm, with Miles in there, with Karis, all these guys available, they still weren't really winning at a high rate. So I personally think that when it kind of bottomed out with Miles getting hurt and other guys going down and you're playing a bunch of, you know, former G League players at Madison Square Garden, for instance, you kind of got to realize, like, hey, this isn't going how we want it to. And I think it was smart of them to kind of look towards their future.
What's your early thoughts on a guy like Buddy Hield, who I believe scored 31 points today for the Indiana Pacers in the loss to the Bucks? What's been your early impressions of him?
Yeah, so he actually dropped in 36, dropped 8 threes. He was 1 for 13 the other night, you know, against Minnesota. So he bounced back from a really poor shooting night. He had a great one. My impression is this. He's very good at shooting the ball, but I think right now he's being asked to do more, which is putting on the floor, creating his own shot, which, you know, if he played it, like you said, on a contender, he'd be shooting lights out because all he had to do was just do what he does best. Now he's being asked a little bit more. He's done relatively well with it. My impression is that he's a shooter. He's not going to be a great shot creator, I don't think, mainly because he doesn't really have like that burst of speed to get by you. He's more of like a pull-up guy. I know he's like kind of herky-jerky, does a lot of hesitations. But I do think that he helps the team in a sense that he can just shoot the ball. Like, you know, he's a 40% three-point shooter for his career. I know he's down a little bit this year. But even like his down percentage is better than most guys on the Pacers. Like they really couldn't shoot three prior to getting Halliburton and prior to getting Buddy. You know, Justin Holiday, who you know, the Kings have now, was their top three-point shooter, I think, at like 38%. So it was a struggle. Buddy can get him up. And I do think by having him out there, it creates more space for Halliburton, you know, to go to work on pick and rolls and things like that, and it opens up some space for other guys. So I think picking up is a positive. Now, do they flip him in the offseason? That's a question that's definitely out there, in my opinion. I don't know if he's going to be your starting, you know, guard in the backcourt for the future. And even now, like, he's getting more run because Chris Duarte, you know, messed up his toe and he's out for a little bit. So my impression is that he is who I thought he was, who I saw at Oklahoma. He's a shooter, and the Pacers could definitely use more shooting because they've struggled with that all year.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Chris Duarte, by the way. I want to see him starting. He is a walk-in bucket. He's so much effort. I watch way too much Indiana Pacers basketball before the trade ever even happened. Like this, I told you, I'm a big Sabonis guy. I've called him the Jokic of the East for that reason. But before we go over to the Kings, last one again about Halliburton, just early impressions of him, right? Like he seems to be just automatically stepping in there and finding his guys open and getting his shot up. So what's your early impressions of him, and what's been the word around the locker room? How has everyone like kind of shifted toward him?
I think everyone enjoys playing with him because he gets it out early. Like even just watching these last three games, watching a few Kings games, you know, highlight things like that. He's a guy who is a great assist man, but it's not because he's always looking to be the guy who gets the assist. He just makes the pass. Like he'll give it up to get it back. He'll push it ahead. So I think guys naturally run harder, run faster, set screens, you know, because they know, hey, this guy's going to be looking for me. And one funny play from the other night against Minnesota, he threw a pass to Terry Taylor, and it hit him in his back because he wasn't looking for it, and he probably wasn't expecting it. But that's what you kind of have to expect with a guy like Halliburton. And I asked Rick Carlisle about it. He's like, hey, you know, with the great passers, you're gonna get hit in the face if you don't have your hands ready. So I think the locker room enjoys his unselfishness, but the unique part about Tyrese is that he's a very good scorer, could arguably be their best scorer right now. So I know tonight he kind of struggled. I wouldn't say struggled, but I think struggle is probably a good word. He was, you know, having a hard time figuring out when does he shoot, when does he pass. He didn't attempt a shot in the first quarter, and I think that really kind of hurt the team. But again, he's a pure point guard. So I think he's still trying to figure out how to pick his spots. That's hard to do. And again, he's doing that while also having a lot of guys out due to injury and such. So I'll say give it 2 or 3 weeks and he should be looking maybe even better than what he's looked through the first three games. But the buzz around the locker room, the city, the fan base is that, you know, he's the real deal. And if you talk to a couple of his teammates, even through the first 3 days, you know, three games, they're excited about him.
Yeah, I will say that the one thing about Tyrese, I would say his biggest flaw, if there is really anything about the potential on this kid, is he always is looking to pass. He will take at times not shoot the basketball on a wide open jump shot just to get his other teammates involved on the court. I mean, I've seen him multiple times just keep looking for Buddy because he wants Buddy's confidence to stay high. And he could have a wide open three in the corner. And Halliburton's actually really good at just shooting that thing from the corner. He is a bucket. Mm-hmm. I think the Pacers got a ton of potential in Tyrese Halliburton. And I'm so excited to see what he becomes in his development under Rick Carlisle. I think that doesn't get talked about enough about what Rick Carlisle can do for a point guard like that in his type of system. I think it could be something special. But James Boyd, again, Indy Star, joining the Kings Court, giving just so much great insight there. This show, again, once again, sponsored by RateCrushers.com. If you haven't done so already, guys, we are live right now on YouTube, Twitter, and Facebook. Give this a share. If you haven't done it yet, hit subscribe on YouTube. Hit that retweet button and like button on Twitter. Keep growing the show. Keep growing the eyes that are watching this with us as we now move toward the Sacramento Kings. Again, in this trade, they got Justin Holiday, Jeremy Lamb, and the big name, Domantas Sabonis. Let's start off with the smaller ones first. The wing guys, the defensive wings that I don't think get talked about enough in this deal, because I think they bring such a need to this Kings team in terms of providing shooting around the perimeter, but also providing defense around the perimeter, which the Kings have lacked all season. But let's start off with Jeremy Lamb. What are some pros and cons Kings fans should know about Jeremy Lamb that probably only know him from the two times they play him in the season?
Yeah, I would say with Jeremy, it's just his streakiness. Like, there's days where he's like a bucket. He can go out there and get you 15 to 20. There are some games where it's like, man, why are you shooting this step back shot when you just got in the game and you're not in the rhythm? So he's kind of streaky, but that's kind of been the story of his career. Like, he's a pretty good scorer. I will say he's on an expiring contract, so I don't know, like, how much he'll factor into the future. Probably one of those things where you throw him in there to get the money right on the trade. But I will say he does have some value. He's not like, you know, some scrub, like, you know. But I also don't think he's as high as everyone thinks. You know, just – and I'm sure you can relate. When you watch a team, like, all 82 games or whatever, or every single game, you start to see, like, maybe, like, this guy isn't as good as people think. You know, like, I know when Jeremy Lamb names comes up, all the Lakers fans are always like, oh, like, they should get him. Like, I'm like, he's not that great anymore. Like, he's older. He's been in the league for 10 years. But I do think that he can give you some microwavable type of offense every now and then. But then also, I know you're going to ask about Justin Holiday. I think Holiday is more a consistent player. He was – forced to kind of be a starter in Indiana. He can really shoot the ball when he's going. I know he had a tough stretch this year where he was, like, missing a lot, but he really played well before the trade deadline. I was kind of wondering, like, what's going to be the value on him, because he was kind of going up. And he's also a pretty decent defender. He's got some length. And he's a consummate professional. Both are. And I think that will probably add to, you know, the Kings' locker room. You know, when you ship a young guy out, you bring in some veterans. You want them to be, obviously, veterans. You want them to lead. And I think that Justin is a pretty – I like the way Justin assesses everything. Like, he's very much a, you know, it is what it is type of guy. No excuses. You know, no reasons to back down or to sulk. He's just very, you know, workmanlike in that sense. And then I believe Jeremy's the same way. Just, you know, we haven't had as much chance to talk to him because he hasn't played as much as Justin, but I think that both of them can add some value to the team for sure. And I think Justin obviously brings the most value out of those two.
Of the two, and or let's just say of the three as a whole, would you say that they would quote unquote have that dog in them? Because I feel like a lot of the Kings fans know how, let's just call it how it was. The Kings were pretty soft as a team. No one really wanted to get into anybody defensively. It just kind of seemed like no one really wanted to put their body into anyone. So would you say that these guys are very active, maybe even very vocal defensively, and that will, you know, correlate to everybody else getting involved on the defensive end as well?
So I'll say this. When I'm at games, I don't have a chance to like, really hear like who's talking and who's barking or whatever. But I will say this. Sabonis is a dog. Like he's going to give you, like, I'm going to tell you right now, if you ever get a chance to talk to this guy or hear any of the interviews, he's going to say the same things. I play hard. My teammates put me in a good position. You know, I just want to win, you know, give you the typical sports cliches. That's just his thing. Like he's never going to talk about himself, but he is a dog because he'll go down there. He'll get elbowed in the face. He'll get beat up. He'll get scratched and he'll get you 20 rebounds. I remember watching him play in Boston. This was, I believe, in January. He had a triple-double, but he had a, you know, it was one of those games where he was really struggling to score. I think he only had like 11 points, but he grabbed 20 rebounds and he had like 10 assists and they lost in overtime. But it's like, I always kind of assess guys based off of their bad games. I'm like, on a bad night, he was down there fighting, scrapping, getting rebounds, and doing something to affect the game. So, like I said, I think that he doesn't get enough credit for how good he is because it's not glamorous. And because of his limitations, but again, when you're looking at a guy who's averaging, you know, I believe it was 18, 12, and 5 when he got traded, and last year it was like 12, 11, and like 6, these are not numbers that you can just fake or fluke. You know, this isn't a once every, you know, this is every night he's giving you everything, and I think that that kind of goes to show about the dog and him, and I believe all of them have some dog. They just don't show it as much. Like, Jeremy's just mild-mannered, so you're probably not going to see much emotion from him. Justin's pretty chill the same way, but they care a lot. And I know for a fact DeMontis cares a lot because the guy, you know, will go out there and get scratched and get beat up. And he has, I mean, if you look at his arms, he's going to have scratches. He's going to have everything on him. And it's not going to matter because he's just going to keep going. I mean, he had a triple-double against OKC and OKC to beat him in overtime. And, I mean, there was just times where I'm like, how are you doing this? And it's just literally the will to win and the will to just get down and dirty. And, you know, catch an elbow, maybe give one back and you know, be a beast is what we're calling him a beast on several occasions this year.
He got to work with both. And I feel like this is what he's going to have to do with Fox. But he got to work with both Malcolm Brogdon and Caris LeVert. And I feel like when one of those guys were out, and I'm going to focus mainly on Caris LeVert just because I watched him play more than Malcolm Brogdon, just because I haven't seen Malcolm Brogdon healthy too much this season. But when Caris LeVert was the point guard for the team and he would get those screens from Sabonis, I feel like that opened up his game a lot. Do you feel like he could have that type of effect on De'Aaron Fox? I mean, I feel like we've seen it already a little bit, but can you speak to the volume of how good he is as a screener and what he does for the point guards?
Yeah, it's funny you brought this up. So Caitlin Cooper is another Pacers writer. She's fantastic. Everyone listening, go follow her on Twitter. She's like my Twitter basketball coach. Like she breaks down the game, you know, DHOs, you know, all the lingo that I'm like, dang, I gotta catch up. She wrote a great piece about him as a screen setter and what it means. He sets rock solid screens. And I think the difference between maybe him being paired with De'Aaron as opposed to him being paired with Caris. Caris is looking to go one-on-one most of the time after he got a screen. That's just the nature of his game and why I think he fits better in Cleveland because they need like a six-man scorer type of guy. But with De'Aaron, there is more of a, you know, distributor vibe. You know, he can also score, obviously. So I think that by that pick and roll, you know, the threat of De'Aaron coming off the pick and roll and being downhill or spraying out to a shooter and also having, you know, DeMontis rolling, you know, creates another dynamic for that offense. But he set some really, really hard screens. And I think that it just comes down to timing. Sometimes he'll get called for a moving screen if you don't wait long enough. But if you wait, you're pretty much guaranteed to get some separation because you're not moving through that guy. Like, he's pretty strong, pretty stout. He's a legitimate 6'11", and he's mobile. So I think that with those rock hard screens, being able to roll, being able to shoot a little bit as well. I'm sorry, it's kind of dark in here now. I think with Sabonis, he's a fantastic, you know, screen setter. I don't think there's any question about that. He's a guy that likes working back again. But there's no question about him as a screen setter, one of the best in the league. And like I said, I believe if you all really want to dive deeper into it, Google Caitlin Cooper, Domantas Sabonis screens, and you can see a great or read a great story about it, because I did, and open my eyes to just how much that affects a team's offense.
So I don't want to just talk about only the pros. Let Kings fans hear some of the cons about Domantas Sabonis. What are some things that he either needs to work on, or some flaws that could probably be a problem for the pairing between him and Fox?
He averages 4 turnovers a game this year, so that's a bit concerning. It's like, you don't want, you know, this guy to be averaging that many turnovers. That's really high. That's 4 possessions. That could be, you know, a ton of points if a team takes advantage of those. So that's one area where it's like, maybe he'll be able to get some relief, because he was asked to do a lot here, mainly as a de facto point guard most of the time, you know, especially when Malcolm and other guys were out. And before they even got Halliburton, I mean, it was basically like Domantas was the point center, you know, or so to speak. So I do think that that's a cause for concern. You want to see him take care of the ball better. I do think there are some limitations on defense. He probably doesn't move his feet as great as other bigs as you would like. But I do think the flip side is that he'll be able to guard more centers. Like, the thing why him and Miles Turner never really worked is that whenever they were on the floor together, one of them was out of position because they're both centers. So hopefully he'll be able to guard more centers in Sacramento and be able to move his feet a little bit better. So I think defensively he has some limitations. He's not a shot blocker. He's never going to be a guy who's going to get above the rim and be a rim protector. So that is an issue if you want to have a center. So you might want to – I mean, if you look at the Sacramento roster, it's like, who else is going to be, you know, that guy to protect the paint? Because Sabonis is just by nature not a guy who's going to be a high flyer. He will, I will say, he will try. He'll get up there. He'll get a block here and there. But he's not, you know, known as being like a very big lob threat or rim protector. And there is some streakiness with his shooting, his outside shooting. He's an okay three-point shooter. He's not great. Okay jump shooter, not great. But, again, I think that in this trade, if you're looking at what the Kings wanted and where they're trying to go this season, trying to chase that playing game, he could help them do that because he makes an immediate impact by just playing to his strengths. And I think that in Sacramento he'll have a chance to do that because he'll be asked to be just a center instead of being the center, the point guard, and pretty much everywhere in between. I mean, there were times where he'd get a rebound and be asked to push it up the floor. And you know, Rick Carlisle was saying that sometimes that was their best offense because he was the one creating it. And I think by having De'Aaron out there, it helps. So there were some limitations. Malcolm's been out with an Achilles thing for what seems like forever now. But being in this situation for Sabonis is obviously going to be good for him. And I know he said he's looking for a home, and I'm hoping he can find it because he's a good dude, man. He's a nice guy. Never any issues in the media, never pouty or anything. I know he got mad at me once for asking about him and Miles, but, you know, that's over with now, and I think he's forgiven me.
Perfect. Yeah, hey, look, this – as long as you have someone that's passionate about what you're asking them, I feel like that's a good sign, honestly. It means that they know what you're reading. It means your words matter. You know what I mean? I think that's what – as all writers, as all podcasters, everybody, that's – the number one thing you want is you want to know that you're being heard and that the words that you're writing down matter to something. So actually, I applaud you for it. You know what I mean? Even though he's mad at you,
appreciate
I applaud you for you, man. last question, and this one's going to be a quick one. I just need a quick yes or no. Do you think a lineup, because you said the Turner and Sabonis thing didn't really work out, do you think a lineup with Rashawn Holmes and Domantas Sabonis is an experiment the Kings should really look to pursue?
No.
Oof.
I'm gonna go no.
Interesting. I'm
saying this because I'm like, Miles could shoot the ball and it really didn't work that well. So I don't know, man. I got to see some other pieces around him. I know I'm gonna get like it's a stoned or whatever onto a boot. Yep, tomato. nothing against him. I think they should stagger their minutes as much as possible.
Look, James, you're going to hear a lot of Kings fan might come after you after this video because they really want to see it. But, bro, I want to thank you so much for joining me here on the Kings Court, James. Follow this man, James Boyd, at Romeoville Kid on Twitter, the Indy Star. James, before I let you go, let the fans out there know what they can be expecting from you for the rest of the season, what type of content that you'll be putting out there, anything like that. What you got to promote?
Yeah, man, obviously I got some stories on my sleeve. I'll say stay tuned during the All-Star break. I got a feature coming that I'm really excited about. Obviously, I'm going to have some coverage on Halliburton being in the Rising Stars competition. And really, kind of looking like, is this the precursor to him getting to that All-Star game maybe next year and make another leap in his game? So stay tuned on that front. I try to do multiple things. You know, I do try to get, you know, like I said, going viral wasn't really the plan, but I try to get video interviews so you guys can hear the emotions of the players and see it instead of reading it. And I also take my camera around wherever with me to take photos of all the guys and photos of Giannis and Halliburton and other things. I'm big into sneakers as well. I think I'm going to put a gallery out probably over the All-Star break of all the sneakers I've seen this season for different players. So, you know, stay tuned, have fun with it. And like you said, I think I try to keep it positive at all times. So I'm grateful for my job, grateful for the platform, grateful for you, Vince, reaching out. No worries. And yeah, man, I'll try to keep the good content coming.
Hey, bro. Thank you. So I said I wasn't going to use it, but I had to use it. James Boy, man, at Romeoville Kid on Twitter. Everyone, thank you so much who joined us live here on the Kings Court podcast, whether it was on YouTube, Twitter, or Facebook. I've been your host today, Vince Miracle. As you guys can see right there, you can follow me on all social media platforms of at VM Center. This show is sponsored by RateCrushers.com. Whether it's house insurance, boat, leisure, motorcycle, car, make sure you're not overpaying for coverage. Go to RateCrushers.com. James, once again, thank you. To all the fans out there, thank you. And